So the layout of the congregation right now is very strange for me, because you sort of have a lot of gaps right here, and then you look over here, and it's just full of people. And so I'm sort of off balance. It's very strange what I'm preaching. So if I seem to be lost at some point, I'm looking for the people. I'll find them eventually. You're over here too, I understand, but I'm looking at some empty pews until I get to Scott back. So it's very strange on this Sunday of joy. And indeed, it was great joy for the people in Ezra's time. They had been in exile for 70 years, about, not a mystical 70 years, but actually 70 years, roughly, in Babylon, and then they have come back to rebuild this temple. Now, you may have noticed last week, although I did not wind up preaching in the way that I initially intended to, that the name of the sermon was The Empire Strikes Back. How many of you heard that title before? Good. I'm never quite sure with my cultural references. You know, there are these things I think everyone knows, and then I get out here and no one knows it, so I'm glad to hear this. And so if you had been paying attention to the weekly newsletter in your emails, you would have noticed that for Advent 1, which was 3 weeks ago when I was gone, I had titled that Advent service A New Hope. That's a less common title. Have you heard that title before? Okay, some people have. Okay, now this one's The Return of the Jews, which is not falling form exactly, but does at least sound familiar? Okay, good. So, okay, hey, I'm gonna pause and do something here. I'm gonna do something that's very hard for me. Okay, so taking off my bow tie. And the second time I've worn a necktie in this church, and so it's been a long time since I had to tie it, so forgive me, but okay. So I can't tie them anymore. But okay, Lex, can you tell me what this tie is?
Star Wars.
So it's a Star Wars tie? Do you reckon?
We can name all the characters.
And is it okay if I can have it?
No, actually, this is in fact my favorite tie, and it is a Star Wars tie. It is 100% silk. I've had it for about 20 years. And so on this day of joy, I should probably fix this. On this day of great joy, I thought we should take out special clothing for this purpose, because it's funny when you look at the story of Star Wars and you think about the Jedi themselves. It's funny because you have this sense in the first story in Star Wars that I watched recently with Martha and Teddy, not as some friends of mine from San Francisco did, in a movie theater they had rented out for the purpose with 500 of their closest friends all dressed in Star Wars costumes. This is what I get for living in Des Moines and not in San Francisco, I guess. They called it Emma's Star Mitzvah. To bring those parallels together again. But if you look at that story, you have in that first story, A New Hope, as we learn later on by watching the prequels, it's not that long that the Jedi have been extinct or nearly extinct. But we learn in that movie that there were these people called the Jedi who were guardians of peace and justice in the galaxy until the Emperor and his young assistant Darth Vader, who had been a student of Ben Kenobi's until he turned to the dark side, wiped them out, hunted and killed them all. And so it's this 30-year period, but by the time we are in Star Wars, we're already forgetting that these things existed. These things existed because you have Han Solo saying, oh no, I don't believe in any mystical force. You have people on the Death Star with Darth Vader saying, this Death Star is now the ultimate force in the galaxy. You are all that's left of this old religion. So people have forgotten very quickly what it was to have the Jedi around. And so we have this great triumph in Star Wars, where the Death Star, this giant planet-sized space station, for those of you who have forgotten, that can destroy other planets, gets destroyed, and there's great celebration. Much like in Josiah's time, we're reforming worship. We're going to do it right this time. We're going to beat back these forces that have corrupted Israel. But then, in The Empire Strikes Back, what happens? Where are they when we start The Empire Strikes Back, for those of you who pay attention? They're on Hoth, this frozen ice world. Like, if you have a better example of a nasty exile, I can't imagine what it is. They're in these bunkers. They've got to close them at night, otherwise they'll all freeze to death because they've been routed and destroyed. And so there we are with the Jews in Babylon. The empire has, in fact, come back. That great glimmer of hope was very brief, but more work needs to be done as they're sent into exile. And so now here we are with the return from exile. In Return of the Jedi, we have the return of the Jedi. There is a brief moment where there are basically no Jedi, and then Luke Skywalker comes back, completes his training, and becomes a Jedi. And similarly, when we thought there was no religion of ancient Israel anymore, the temple has been destroyed, Jerusalem has been routed and carried off into exile. Here Ezra tells us the story. No, we come back and there is hope again for a restoration of the world that was. So there are a couple of things about this story in Ezra that I find particularly moving for me. You keep on hearing this term, the whole burnt offering. That is actually just, there's a technical term of offering in the Hebrew. There are various kinds of offerings. And so in Hebrew, it's one word. It's do this offering over and over again. But they come back, and the first thing they do is say, okay, what are the traditions that we want to raise up? We want to do this offering in this place. We want to be thankful again to God for bringing us out of exile, for not turning God's back on us. For this is the great fear. Because the promise in the Old Testament is, you will be my people, and I will be your God. And that's the great covenant between God and the people. And when God says, I will no longer protect you, Israel, and you'll be sent into exile, what's the great fear? Anyone? What would you be afraid of? God's gone forever, right? And so when Isaiah brings these words of hope saying, no, even though it looks like all is hopeless, even though it looks like all is lost, all is not lost, all is not hopeless, God is still with you. And they say, okay, and start doing the offerings again. One of the things, the most famous part of Ezra is not in this text. The most famous part of Ezra is they get back from exile, and Ezra has discovered a new scroll of scripture, and he reads it. And this new scroll of scripture is thought by many people to be the book of Deuteronomy, which retells a lot of the story of the Old Testament. In a new form. And one of the reasons for that is one of the struggles that happened in exile was, if your identity is built on having this country, this piece of land that is Israel, the promised land, and having God inhabit that land in the temple, what does it mean to be a Jew without that land, to be a Jew without a homeland, without a temple? What does it mean? How do we do that? How do we rethink our lives? And so most biblical scholars think that in exile, a lot of the priests got together and said, we need to write some rules for how we survive as a people in exile. And so this is where you see a lot of rules about dietary restrictions, what you can eat and what you can't eat. A lot of rules about when you're allowed to do things and not allowed to do things. All these rules that say, how do we maintain an identity as a people, a separate people here in exile? The interesting, so this is the scroll that has been refound. And so the thing that is here that we have read is the beginning of rebuilding the temple. But the funny thing is, of course, not everyone was gone in exile, right? Not everyone was gone. There were people that were left behind. The new conquerors still needed people to farm the land and pay their taxes. And so there are still people there. And in the northern kingdom of Israel, this becomes an issue later on because some of the people that are left behind, we now know as Samaritans. And sneak preview to next season, you'll hear a lot about Samaritans, right? That's something that's important in the New Testament. But we're coming back, and so here are these people that for 70 years have discovered what it is like to live as a people without a temple. And they come back to the people who have been there all along, and they start to rebuild the temple. Did anyone catch what happened when they started to lay out those blocks? What was the reaction of the people? It was mixed, right? because we had people weeping at this new temple, as well as people shouting for joy. And the people who were weeping, it said, were the people who had been there 70 years earlier. And so it's fitting that this is the end of the story of the Old Testament, because in many ways, if you think about it, when you rebuild something on top of something else, what happens to your memories? If someone tears down a building and rebuilds it in its place, what happens to your memories? You lose them. I mean, even here, right, that this is the new building. How many of you still think of the old building as church? Is there anyone left? Okay, there are a couple that admit it. You know, we've been here for 20 years. The rebuilding of the temple, and the old church is still there. The rebuilding of the temple means that when people think of the temple, they will think of the new temple. There is an unattended phone in the balcony. I meant to point it out, but didn't. So it'll go away soon, I hope. There it goes. So the reason for the mixed reaction is everyone is happy to have that temple back again. But the trick is all the people who lived there the first time, through all of the Old Testament after Solomon built the temple, are seeing the final destruction of their memory. Right? Now, when people think of the temple, they're going to think of the new temple. And the new temple is going to be built by people who have spent 70 years trying to figure out how to live without a temple. So what's going to happen with this new temple? There is a lot of uncertainty there for people because they see this is the change of what was before. What was before can never be done again because now we're in a new world. We're in a new place. We're in a new way of life with a new religion that is built from exile. And this happens in our life all the time that we see these changes and we lament what has happened. And that brings us back to Star Wars. Because the thing about Return of the Jedi is Luke Skywalker doesn't remember what the Jedi Council was, right? He was too young. He doesn't remember what it was like when the Jedi were the guardians for hundreds of years of peace in the galaxy. And there's no one left to tell him what it was like. There's no one left to tell him, no, you're doing it wrong, no, you're doing it right, because for a moment, the last of the Jedi he will be. And so you look at that, it's the return of the Jedi, but it's not the return of the Jedi. It's the rebirth of the Jedi. It's this new thing that is out there because he was not fully trained. He'll have to figure things out on his own, and it is the same with these people who are building the temple in Jerusalem. And the thing that I find so helpful about this story is that it is the end, the very end of the narrative in the Old Testament. History goes on. Well, the Old Testament ends, but it ends with building something new, as if to say, this portion of the story is done. The part where we told you what happens is done. The part where we look to the ancient past as the ideal is done. Now we have a new building, and it is for you to inhabit. It is for you to tell the stories. It is for you to tell what the world will be. And so I love in both Return of the Jedi and this story that there is this hope that here is the new world for us to inhabit. Here is the new choice for us to make. Here is the new building for us to complete. And for me, the great joy is that this has been entrusted to us. To say, how will our story go? What will our chapter be? We know what was in the past, but what is here now is up to us. And it is so fitting that this is the world into which Jesus Christ is born for us in Bethlehem next week. Amen.